we go. What's poppin'? What's hey. Poppin', people?
Stuff.
Got a bash going on here today. Mark's here from Berkeley. Trudy from 94.7 WCSX. She is still employed in the industry of radio.
What a credit that is.
Isn't that something around here? It's pretty huge. Jay's here from Plymouth, and I'm Drew from Ferndale. Mags and Layla are also present. You may hear them barking from time to time. And we're fresh off pretty big coup yesterday, having Charlie Sheen for an hour.
That was really cool.
Did you get to listen to it?
Yeah. You made him sound like he was all straightened out. I mean, well, I don't. You didn't make him, but
I have to give him most of the credit. I mean, he sounds good.
Yeah, he sounds like he's level-headed now and
lucid.
And his testosterone overdose has leveled off.
Oh, that was really interesting to hear that he was taking gobs of testosterone when that was going, because something was going on. I mean, it just seemed like nobody could figure it out, though.
Yeah, just that stuff just came. What did he say? Told him to say tiger blood.
He never said, but I think we figured out that it was Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
A pitcher.
He said he was on the phone with somebody. He said he revealed it later, but yeah, it sounds very Brian Wilson-esque. Not the Beach Boy Brian Wilson, but the baseball player with the big giant beard.
Oh. Spoke to him through a pitcher?
A pitcher, yeah. He's a relief pitcher.
Oh, I was like, somebody else told me that too. I was like, a pitcher of Brian Wilson?
Oh, pitcher.
Like it was talking to him? Okay.
Close enough.
Pretty surreal day. Sorry.
But you know what? It was like, no, he's not on drugs. He's not wasted. He's too lucid to be wasted. I mean, he was so quick on his feet and he was funny as hell. It was like, what is it? Well, it just sounds to me like that excessive amount of testosterone he was taking gave him swagger out the ass.
Yeah. Well, plus, he was pissed off about the Chuck Lorre stuff.
Yeah, and I really like...
So he had an axe to grind.
Next month, when we talk to Charlie again, maybe he will tell us, because I never really... I still have been unable to figure out why he's so angry with Chuck Lorre. Do you have a feel for that?
Well, wasn't it over creative control for that show?
Oh, yeah.
Or money? There's something along those lines.
It seemed much deeper than that. It seemed like it was...
It had to be over... Didn't it have to be over money?
But Charlie was making $2.5 million an episode.
Yeah, but maybe little Angus was making as much as he was, and he didn't feel he.
Sorry if I offended you.
I don't know. I don't know what. I'm not sure. But I'd love to know. I'm not sure he was that angry because he did end up calling out John Cryer for something. It wasn't anything real. It was, compared to him ripping other people, it was far less. But he did apologize to John. And John mentioned that in the book that he, at some point, said, "Hey, man, sorry about all the 2.5 men stuff." And John Cryer was kind of like, "Oh, is that all? That's it? Just sorry?"
In other words, like, why don't you go cry about it?
Well, what's he supposed to say?
I think John felt he was due a little more than just a, sorry about that crap with, 2.5 men crap. Maybe it seemed like an awful, easy sort of off-the-hook apology.
Well, but honestly, what is he supposed to do?
I don't know what else he could say. Maybe he could explain.
Sorry about that.
Maybe a little explanation.
There's only so many times you can apologize before you don't mean it anymore.
Great okay, quote, Homer. Mr. Homer Simpson. Homer J. Simpson.
That's the smartest guy on earth.
Isn't he, though?
Yep.
I love Homer.
But you texted me last night. You said you were talking to Tony.
Yeah, Tony Todd called me. Because Tony did not realize that he was on the podcast when we called, and Tony answered the phone, and we ended up talking to him for 5 minutes.
He was cool.
He was totally cool, and he was great last night, too. He wanted to apologize for swearing.
Oh, that's adorable.
I said, Tony, come on. You can swear on a podcast, but we just wanted you to be yourself anyway. I thought he was cool. I thought he was good to talk to. I'd like to have him on again.
Yeah.
Did you say Charlie enjoyed it?
Yeah, absolutely. They
really?
They'd listen to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And,
really?
Yeah, and Tony was real happy. Well, he was psyched that he was on. And and he plays in these celebrity softball games. He directed me to YouTube to watch Charlie swing.
Really?
He had all this other stuff up there. Charlie's got a hell of a swing.
Really?
Really.
Well, he's played baseball for so long.
But this was when he was, probably 40 years old, and he's taking BP at some Dodgers... I think it was a Dodgers practice field or something, and he is smoking the ball. It reminded me of watching Tebow swing the bat, actually. He's got that
Does he throw as bad as Tebow? That's what's hilarious.
There's quite an eye roll over there.
Well, did you see the Tebow workout video?
No, I have not seen it. They show him throwing the ball?
Yeah, they show him running. The word out of camp was...
I heard this.
His throwing was not very impressive, which is kind of funny because he's a quarterback.
But his passing was always a little bit lacking. His form was never great.
A good passer.
No, he wasn't.
He would always shot put the football.
He somehow got it to people enough of the time, but...
Yeah, 8 yards away.
Yeah.
He looked weird running, too, Tebow did.
Running?
Yeah.
That's like the last thing they're going to worry about in terms of his
baseball
tryout.
Well, if he's playing outfield or running...
As long as he can get 60 yards in under 7 seconds, they won't care too much. Well, yeah, if he gets a good break on the ball, too. I just think he's so far removed from the game, and when I heard that he... spent the last year working out, getting ready for this.
Yeah.
I said, that's crazy. Because if he spent a year working out, he could have spent that year playing for an independent team or something, not just practicing. You've got to play against live pitching to get your... And that's what
they said. You know an independent team would hire him.
Sure they would, just for the attendance.
Yeah.
And that was one of the gripes in the tryout. They had basically Tim Tebow Day where they invited scouts from anywhere, which is kind of annoying. I mean, because how many guys at 29 who haven't played baseball since high school could get a group of scouts to show up? Not many people.
He made everybody there a better man.
I'm sure they all, yes, in that brief period they watched him.
Probably circed a few of them, too.
Really?
Yeah, Tebow's a master circer.
That's a good, a steady hand.
He's circed, honestly, half the Philippine islands.
He's involved in a circumcision program for underprivileged kids in South America.
When he was in high school.
Which we've projected to quite a few other things.
Yeah. he did a lot of missionary work, and part of that missionary work was circing.
So that's what he did when he wasn't having sex with anybody, was circing people?
He couldn't. He was thinking about circing.
Circing.
That's not the verb.
I'm going circing, Mom.
Yeah. Circing USA. Circing Filipinos.
Got a big day circing.
Don't you have to handle a lot of dude stuff? I mean, a lot of junk in your hands?
I think most of them are young kids, childbirth. I assume so.
You can be called dudes. If an 85-year-old can be called a bro or a dude by Lenny Dykstra, then why can't a newborn baby be called a dude?
Oh, that reminds
little
me.
Dude.
I don't know if I have this. Did you guys see the story about parents that complained to the doctor about the size of their kids' junk?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Hang on.
Oh, by the way, Terrence Howard said you should not get circumcised until you're an adult man.
Oh, I've heard the exact opposite.
Yeah, he was on Kimmel. And Kimmel was just looking at him like he was from He really is a weird dude, but...
He is weird. Did he get circed as an adult?
No.
Oh, well, easy for him to say.
Yeah, Tebow do it.
He just had a baby, and he had to protect his baby because the hospital was trying to circ it.
He's not protecting his kid. He's just giving him something horrible to do later in life.
So if you wait till you're an adult, though, isn't that really painful?
Hell yeah. Oh, my God. Plus all the dread thinking about it.
Yeah.
The headline is, as boys get fatter, parents worry one body part is too small. Question about penis size has become more common over the past decade. This is a doctor wrote it in first person. As my colleagues and I have seen more overweight children coming in for physical exams, all these worries reflect cultural preoccupations and anxieties, which can make the conversation highly fraught for all concerned. I see dissatisfaction with the phallus very regularly, said Dr. Chokla, a pediatric urologist at Children's Hospital.
Could you get any more official?
I see dissatisfaction with the junk.
They're not happy with the kid's cock. I think it should be bigger. Want to have a bigger cock. Okay?
I directed him to tuggers.com, even though it's restoring foreskin. He said that with 10 to 11-year-old boys, the common thing is, my son's penis is too short.
Now, is this the mother or the father?
It's usually the mother, I thought.
What?
Yeah, I had a feeling it would be. What are these moms doing looking at their kids' junk, by the way?
They kind of have to.
They're used to it. They're used to looking at junk.
When they're 10 or 11?
Let's see. The vast majority...
Are you in a nudist family, Trudy?
No, but there was a nudist camp in the Free Press the other day.
I saw that. And you know what? Did you see how they revealed that all kinds of horny people stop in there for like the day passes?
Yeah, all nudists say that too, don't they?
Yeah, and they have to be on the lookout for those people all the time. And also that a lot of swingers are nudists, yeah. Which they've always denied there's anything sexual about it. They lie!
Do they all still have to carry on the towel? Remember them? If someone gets erect, they just tell them to put a towel on.
Oh.
That's the most horrifying thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that really more in denial? Like showing it off and then denying that it works.
Well, it's funny. They didn't even talk about that in the whole story. But they did talk about how sexualized the whole thing is, which is, I've never heard nudists talk about it like that. Yeah. But even though we knew better.
I know.
We'd accuse them of it and they'd call us creeps and we knew they were the creeps.
I know.
Now they officially are. Although I don't care. I mean, they can do what they want.
Fooling us.
Just how many people in the story were in their 70s and 60s and 80s?
Right.
Gross.
I know. After all that time, they finally are out and free when no one wants to see it.
Yeah, I wonder if they were nudists when they were actually hot. When they were young and hot, they probably weren't.
Mm-mm.
But, hey, just briefly back to Tebow. The scouts universally agreed that while he looked, you know, I guess he swung the bat pretty well in batting practice against live pitching. They had a couple of former major leaguers throwing. Struggled.
Oh, which really?
Is not surprising at all. Because looking at him in that batting practice, when you take batting practice against either a pitching machine or somebody that just throws the ball down the middle, which is what you're supposed to
meatballs.
Do. Meatballs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get in a rhythm, and eventually it looks like, oh, man, he's just hitting line drive after line drive after line drive, and that's what batting practice should be. If
almost like volleying in tennis, like back and forth, yeah.
But then you get a pitcher on the mound who might be throwing a curveball, a sinker, a changeup, a fastball, a slightly slower fastball. That's a different thing completely, and that's why he should have, when he spent this entire year working out, for him not to face live pitching was crazy. That's a wasted year, if you ask me.
I must say that I pitched a tent.
So, I don't know. I predict he doesn't even, I don't even know if he'll sign, just based on what these scouts said.
I still say somebody will sign him just because it's Tebow.
Well, it'll be, in my opinion, just obvious as hell that what they're doing it for is for a little minor league. You know, get a few hundred extra people at the ballpark or give them something to, because they're always, I love minor league baseball. They're such hucksters. They're open hucksters.
They should do Cirque Day at the park.
Cirque Day,
they circumcision someone?
Yeah, at the park.
Yeah, Tim Tebow does it. They have a raffle to see who gets to be cirked by Tebow.
How about if every free uncircumcised admission. Fan gets in free, and one fan will be selected for a free circumcision from Tim Tebow.
Shut like up, it. Baby dick.
How cool is that?
I know. Now Tebow you're thinking. You.
Trying to find, just going back to the boys and the penis story, like parents being worried over it. The funny thing about it was Roberta Giacina did like localize the story and talked to a doctor. Yeah. And I'm trying to find that story because it's really, hearing his comments are actually pretty funny.
You're talking about parents care about son's penis size? Henry Ford doctor confirms that story?
Yeah. Yeah. It has audio from that doctor.
Why did they assign Roberta to that particular story?
Roberta just seen it? She did. Yeah.
She's on the penis beat. And we got a breaking penis story. Get Giacina. Do you have the audio, Jay, for it? All right.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Courtesy of
this will be the most stiff audio
size
you've heard in a
their
while.
Son's penis. They're worried about the penis of their 10 or 11 year old son.
See how easy it rolls
small.
Off her tongue.
Dr. Ali Dabaja at Henry Ford Health System says
he gives a little push.
All the time. He says in most cases there is an issue. The boys are overweight. Things down there just appear smaller. He says it's very, very rare
likely
for there
excuse.
To be any kind of a serious problem with these boys.
Well, if the child has concern, which they could, because, you know, they're going to be in a locker room with their friends and they're going to see discrepancy in the size, then they should acknowledge it. And they should actually ask their child, their son, if they want to go to a doctor and be evaluated. You know, the worst thing you can do is to panic and ignore it, because it will it develops into a problem for the child later on in their development.
Doctors say it's usually the mother who asks the doctor the question, but she says she's asking for the father.
Fake!
Say penis one more time.
Yeah, I know.
No,
I
she said
hear
penis
again.
Like twice. In the
crank
first
the beginning of that again. I want to hear her say penis.
She had it hard. really.
She did. She did.
Like, odd trend at the doctor's office. More moms and dads worried about the size of their son's penis. They're worried about the penis of their 10 or 11-year-old son.
Good enough. Umph. She did. She really threw herself into that.
It landed.
You know, the crux of that story is they're kind of suggesting that, hey, if your kid's got a small penis, you got to do something about it.
Yeah, lose some weight.
Don't wait too long.
Well, didn't they say they need to just acknowledge it so that the little kid with the penis issue go into the shower and go, look at me. All right, see? Nothing. I'm smooth down here.
Ew.
They're suggesting something should be done. The big news today, really, I mean, the really big, in my opinion, the big news was Chris Brown and his idiotic affair.
Yeah.
And who, is there anyone who does not believe this girl was somehow threatened by him?
Oh, no, I believe her.
I totally believe her.
Do you believe her story wholly, though?
Mm.
I don't know. I do know this. She sure got to the media in a hurry.
Yeah, I know.
She was on TMZ. She was on...
She's wanted to in New York, by the way. Did you see that part?
No. For what?
Theft.
Theft of what?
A wallet, a lady's wallet. The only part I don't believe about her story, she's like, this guy brought this jewelry in, and I was just admiring it. I wasn't even touching it. I have a feeling she was probably putting it on.
So Chris Brown
knew? Not that gives him the right to pull the gun on her, but, you know.
What about this part of the story where they say that he threw a bag out a window of the house?
Yeah.
Did anyone say anything about the bag? And
I
what
didn't
was
see
it?
Anything
the
about
police
the bag.
Are evaluating the contents of the bag, which was all they would say earlier today.
Did they find a gun?
They didn't say whether they found a gun or if there were drugs or what was in the bag.
But they,
I wouldn't throw a gun out, though.
I thought they said, well, no,
you know, a house like that has a secret compartment or five to hide things.
Fake wall, yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
Of course. Did you hear who else was there with him?
Oh, Ray J?
That seems so perfect.
I know, it's really funny. Why is Ray J coming up all
everywhere
over the place lately?
I know.
Yes.
It's like he sees the story, then just shows up.
And Ray J supports Chris Brown. He supports his homie in this thing. This story just makes me sick. First of all, when someone calls, I don't care where they call from, and says, someone pulled a gun, had a gun in my face, I was scared, the police have to go. Okay, he can say Black Lives Matter and these cops are, you know, I'm not barricaded in my house. I can't believe how ridiculous this report is. And these cops, they're a real gang of idiots and all that business. They did what they had to do.
It's their job, you asshole.
And they've been called to his house five times in the last year for various mishaps. So he is such a jerk.
Shit, man. I was just about to pull out my 9 and put a cap in that pig's ass.
Did you? Garagos is his attorney. We should try to call him. He has a podcast.
Garagos.
It's a good podcast, yeah.
It is. Wow.
Would he respect us as a fellow podcaster?
Maybe.
He does it with
Adam Carolla, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
All Reasonable Doubt or any reason. Something.
And of course, he was Scott Peterson's attorney, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Did you watch GMA? You know, the lawyer chick on there, Sunny. I can't think of her last name.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Every time she refers to Mark Garagos, she says, my good friend Mark Garagos. It's hilarious.
Really?
She's done it twice in the last 2 days, and I've heard her do it before on a case he was doing. It's always my good friend Mark Garagos. Like,
well, they're featuring
name dropping while you're doing the story. It's weird.
Maybe it's the Today Show actually that's doing the true crime special stories. Maybe for this week.
Oh,
anniversary stories.
Must be them
because they had the preppy murder deal with Robert Chambers this morning.
Oh, they did.
They talked to Jennifer Levitt's mother.
Really?
And yeah, and it's interesting. He got more time for his cocaine bust than he did for killing Jennifer Levitt in Central Park in this rough sex thing. And all the things they talked about in 48 Hours, because 48 Hours did a thing on it recently, too, because it's a 30-year anniversary. You remember the preppy murder case? Did you see something just freaky in that Robert Chambers face when you looked at him? Didn't he look like
Look guilty?
He just looked evil to me.
Yeah, he did.
He's hung around after he killed her. He sat on a cement wall, like 40 yards away, and just watched the police come and watched the emergency vehicles come and watched her be carted away. He was there the entire time.
They never suspected that this person loitering near the scene of the crime?
No, they didn't. They shoot him away eventually.
Wow.
And he didn't say anything.
He is.
Have you ever seen The Night Of? Just kidding.
No.
The Night Of?
What? Hey,
Charlie Sheen watches that show.
What is that show?
Say It's Over Now is the HBO one-off series, 8 episodes. It was really good. There's some ridiculous things in it.
What's it about?
Recommended by Charlie.
This kid is, in the way they set it up, you know, it seems like he's totally guilty, but he's meets this girl while he takes his dad's cabin to the city of New York, and of course they do drugs, he bones her, he passes out and comes to at the table, and she's murdered. And of course he's the guy. But the reason I was referring it to this is he ends up getting pulled over away from the scene, and those cops have to respond to the murder call, so he's in the back of the car.
Oh, wow.
Like seeing them go through the house. It's a good show. There's one ridiculous thing in it that it just drove me nuts.
Oh, I hate that.
Of course, so he goes, I mean, spoiler alert, he ends up going to Rikers Island and, you know, becoming kind of indoctrinated into prison culture and becoming a badass. So while in prison, he becomes a drug mule, like people mule drugs via their vagina, and he has to swallow them. The part that makes me mad and I think is so ridiculous.
Him so he can dump them out later?
Yeah, they show him dumping them out.
How do they time that, by the way? What if the guy takes a dump on the plane?
Well, he's in jail, so I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, but otherwise.
But I mean, if you were swallowing it for a flight, how can you control? Because they do, don't they?
Well, you take a lot of AD, and then you swallow them, and then when you get there, you there's drugs that make you poop and drugs to keep it in.
Oh, okay.
Imodium.
Yeah, AD.
It
stands for anti-diarrheal.
Sorry, I didn't know you had it. You know, to the point where you're calling it AD. You're so familiar with it.
Wait, is that did Imodium come up with AD, or have other products been called AD?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Because I was, you know, Imodium AD. I never knew what that was, anti-diarrheal or whatever the hell, whatever it is. If there is such a word,
you get diarrhea.
But it seems like they all should be called AD.
Charlotte walked in on me in the bathroom again today and goes, "You got diarrhea?" Like it was a question. I'm like, "Oh, at least you're asking instead of demanding that I have diarrhea."
Isn't Imodium the one you can trip on? Because I think I'm going to try it. After you talked about doing Flocka, I thought, well, what can I try?
Oh!
So, what does it get you? It gets you buzzed, right?
Flocka?
No.
Imodium.
No, Flocka doesn't do anything. You have to take just a massive amount of AD.
Oh.
Because it blocks receptors in your brain. But they say you have to take like 200 pills for it to work.
Oh, crap.
And you won't take a dump for like 3 days.
200 pills?
Okay. Jeez. Side effects are too bad.
The story you were doing, the same, you talked about it not that long ago.
Yeah, it was something like that. Was it 200?
I thought it was. That's what it was.
Well, it doesn't give you superhuman strength, so I guess it's not worth it.
We have a Flocka murder in Michigan, by the way.
Yeah. Where's the bathroom? I got to take a dump.
Is that in Alpena?
Somewhere up north, yeah. Yeah.
And did this guy, did anybody get a bat in his hands?
Nope.
For BP?
Nope. Double murder, though.
Damn. Oh, my God. Double murder?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Two people.
Seems to be, I wonder if has there ever been a Flocka murder that weren't at least two people killed?
Oh, that's a good, well, the original one, the guy that ate the homeless dude's face, that was just one dude. Right?
Oh,
remember
right.
In Florida?
The zombie, yeah.
Wait, going way back? Not this guy that just happened.
No, the very first one that introduced the world
it's
to
It's just one
salt.
Guy.
It was one guy?
One guy.
Okay.
It's evolved.
Because my boss never did that. No, he never done anything like that.
That's the frat boy face eater. Now they have the cannonball. What did they call him? The cannonball killer. The other guy?
Oh,
the new
right.
Flocka guy?
Yeah, who did the cannonball through the picture window of the house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
The cannonball killer.
God, what a story.
He didn't kill anybody, though. He just attacked them.
So nobody's hurt badly?
In that one?
Yeah, in the Alpena deal?
The Alpena one that was a double murder.
Okay, right. I'm sorry.
But the cannonball.
The cannonball's a different one.
Yeah, that's the one in Florida. That was the one we talked about the other
no
day.
No one's killed in that one.
So you can.
It's not like he got the brunt of it because the lady on the 911 call was whapping him in the head more than 12 times with a bat, an aluminum bat.
I'm sorry. It's inappropriate to laugh, but
no,
somebody bringing a cannonball to some sort of beef.
No, he cannonballed himself.
Yeah, like a cannonball guy.
Jumping into a pool.
Oh, my God.
He yelled it as he was running down the sidewalk. Cannonball! And then jumped through the window. Which, you got to admire the element of surprise in an attack like that.
Trudy, have you seen the guy in Flacca that jumped through the back window of the car?
Oh, yeah.
Is that nuts?
Right. That is crazy.
Were you here for that show? Were you here that day? Or had you just seen that?
Did they give him some milk day? Or,
Yes, but then
I've been watching clips of it because Joey's fascinated now with Flacca video. So he showed me all that.
Wow. That was...
Get him some milk!
Yes.
That guy going through that back window of that car, that is the wildest thing I've seen of any Flacca story anywhere, anytime.
He needs some milk.
Until someone gets to take BP and hit one about 700 feet.
Brad Tebow didn't do that.
Yeah, get Tebow and Flacca. He's good enough, and he's such a wonderful person. He probably could take Flacca and not kill anyone and just take BP.
He'd just have the superhuman strength.
Yeah,
I bet that fucking mojo. They better leave that shit alone.
That lady talks so slow. Her and Dr. Phil would take forever to get through a conversation.
Shit, I ain't going over there.
I went to the Tiger game today.
Ooh.
Yes, yes, thank you. I'll take it.
Great game.
What a series this was.
Ooh.
The first game of the series, they're down. Okay, first of all, they just cannot score runs in the first four or five innings of a game. Mm-hmm. They just can't do it.
Well, they hadn't been able to do it after that streak of, what, four games where they had over eight runs.
Yeah. Suddenly the offense went into a funk, and part of it's been Kinsler, who's been in a nasty slump. Uh-huh. You know, Upton has sort of continued to do that. And when Upton busted out of his, it seemed like that was sort of the turning point. And they won those five in a row, and then they lost the two. And so it was like, oh, here we go, the whole up and down thing. But then, no, they sweep the White Sox three straight games. Saltamaki hits the home run in game one. And then last night, game two, I thought that was that game seemed like it might be, if they get in postseason and they do anything, it seems last night would be the kind of game you look back on and say, wow, that was a big game. It was a big win because they were down 3-0.
What happened?
And Kinsler hit the two-run homer. Kinsler, who's been in a horrible slump, just a nasty slump, to make it 3-2. Then with a score of 3-3 after Upton got another big hit, a single up the middle to tie it, Jacoby Jones, the rookie, in his first Major League Baseball game comes up. And were you watching it live last
today?
Night?
Last night? No, not last night. I was behind. Today I was watching it live.
Did you see it, though, what happened eventually?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, the kid gets up there, and, of course, his parents are at the game, and the cameras are on his parents all night. And, you know, they were just...
So awkward.
It's just scary. Your kid's playing his first Major League game. You so desperately want the kid to do okay, or just do okay is fine, just to play like a major leaguer. Just don't do anything horrible. I think that's really the goal for a guy in his first game. There's so
much
pressure.
Go home to mommy.
I've read about this. Just a lot of people have described the phenomenon, and it really seems to be something where you know this game, you've played it a million times, it's the same everywhere. The pitcher's 60 foot 6 inches away, first base is 90 feet away, the catcher's right behind you. Maybe the pitcher has an extra pitch, or maybe throws a couple mph faster, but it's basically the same thing you've always done, but yet somehow it is so different that first game in the big leagues. And so anyway, the guy didn't get hit his first time, two times up, and he comes up with men on first and second and nobody out. And clearly, as a rookie, you got to be ready to bunt here because they got to get those runners over. It's tied 3-3. It's the seventh inning. He tries to bunt the first pitch, and it's a high pitch, and he tries to bunt it anyway, and he just hits this ridiculous line drive foul. I mean, it was just a disaster. And they show a shot of his parents who are like, oh, fuck. Stupid kid in his first game looks idiotic. Oh, my God. He'll never get to play another game. And two pitches later, with two strikes, he reaches for an outside pitch, and it looked like a good outside corner strike, and he pokes it over the first baseman's head. A nice piece of hitting.
Yeah.
And the parents were on their feet, and mom's jumping up and down. Her titties are flapping back and forth. And everybody in the section is so happy because everyone in the section seemed to know who they were. And it was just the coolest moment to see his parents on this emotional roller coaster.
Where are your parents?
Then he got another hit. I think it was the next inning with a pulled in infield and drove in another run. So it was a
game that was technically the game winner.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So what a night for Jacoby Jones, his first big league game. And then game three today was JV versus Chris Sale, one of the best matchups you could have in Major League Baseball.
Just amazing that those guys can play a day game Oh, wait. They all can't play a day game after a night game with a day off the next day.
Was Miguel taking a lot of shit today? Were people giving him shit?
I would hope they would.
Because at the ballpark...
I know he's beat up and banged up, but they have a day off tomorrow.
Well, the word was, you know, this is what Jim Leland used to do. Was he would give his players, guys who he thought might be tired, the last game off before the day off, so they got two off days. And just really, and I think that was the strategy today, because Miggy's ankle apparently is flared up.
Yeah. But at some point, when you have Chris Sale coming in, you know, a really good pitcher.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm not real crazy about this whole, you know, get an extra day off in.
I'm not nuts about having a day off at all. I feel like in the past, guys would play 162 games, and they don't have nearly the treatment and stuff they have now.
No, it's a good point.
I mean, I know he's banged up, and he's a little older, and they have to protect their investment. It's just
I think a lot of it does come down to the investment, to not wanting to be the manager who runs this expensive player onto the disabled list by overplaying him or not listening to signs that maybe he does need an extra day off. But fortunately, they got away with it because they didn't need him. They didn't even have to pinch hit him. And again, they got down 2-0 as Verlander gave up two solo home runs in a row, including Alex Avila.
I know.
Who probably never hit one in straightaway center as far as he did today. But did it, he did. And the Tigers got one run to make it 2-1, and Verlander kept up, other than those two pitches, he pitched a brilliant game. Yeah.
Craig Monroe had a nice little breakdown of the Avila home run, too. Because, you know, just saying
I didn't
about
see
how,
it because I was there, but what did he say?
Just saying about how he had been up in the zone all game, and he knows that Avila's a low ball hitter. And then, you know, he makes the one mistake and goes low to him, and Avila was just waiting for that.
Yeah, he knows what pitches he can hit by now, as long as he's been in the league. Who hit the first home run? I'm trying to remember.
That was right before him, wasn't it? Yeah. Abreu?
Abreu, that's right. Yeah, and he poked it to straightaway left field. And at the time I said, okay, there's his one mistake, because JV seems to not be able to get away with giving up any runs if he's going to win the game, because they just don't score for him. It's terrible.
But look at who in the order comes through for him in the end. That's what's amazing about today's game.
Yes.
7, 8, and 9.
Well, first, it started, though, with Kinsler's double, and he got pushed over to third on the bunt by Iglesias. So he got third base, one out, and this is a situation I think the Tigers have done a horseshit job on this year when you need a fly ball. And Victor strikes out after fouling off a bunch of pitches, but you could tell Sale was starting to get weary. And JD comes up and rips a single to tie up the game. God, that guy's been clutch, hasn't he? But then it's Jacoby Jones who hits the double in the ninth with the score tied 2-2 off the wall in right field. And, you know, something, I got to tell you, I think something really neat is going on down at Comerica Park this summer. I'm not saying they're going to win a World Series, but this team has been counted out so many times. They had an 11-game losing streak in May. They've lost 11 of 12 to the team leading the division. I mean, that seems virtually insurmountable to me, those two things. Mm-hmm. And yet they're right in there. They're right on the cusp of a wild card bid.
I just still think they're flawed.
Of course they're flawed. That's why I'm saying it's been magical down there. They have won a lot of games you just wouldn't think they could pull out, and they have.
They have to go to Kansas City now, and then they have to go to Chicago. So we'll see how that goes. Then they have to
they've got this rotation that's been missing their best. Well, the guy that may have been their best starter at the beginning of the year, he's probably their number two now, but Zimmerman is a guy they paid $22 million a year for 5 years for to plug a hole in that rotation, and he has been MIA for months now.
The one thing I do like, though, is Jacoby Jones, even though he strikes out way too much, which seems to fit in for this...
he's just another Tiger.
...for this lineup, but really seems to know how to run the bases. I mean, scoring
fast.
On that was a short sacrifice fly today that he scored on.
It was. The kind they never run on.
Oh, my God. I couldn't think of a Tiger that would have scored on that other than him.
Well, I can tell you the one that I got so pissed about in the, let's see, what series was it when it was raining so hard?
Trudy, still awake?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry.
She looks like she's doing homework over there. She should be strong in the next segment.
I thought a guy actually shot a cannonball through a window. I thought maybe I should back off.
Sweet.
Oh, wow.
No, there was a guy up in Michigan who did that, though. He shot a cannon of his own. Did you remember?
No.
Hearing that on the 4th of July. Yeah.
Way back.
So, yeah. I don't know. Never mind. Sorry.
Okay. No problem.
Quiet, you.
Jacoby Jones hit the double in the 9th. And then Tyler Collins, after. Did somebody sacrifice him in the 3rd? I was driving home.
Salty. Salty had another shot that almost made it out to the made it to the warning track, and he advanced to 3rd.
Oh, Salty hit a long ball?
Yeah.
Wow. Where in right field was it?
Right where the wall juts out.
No kidding. Seems to really hit it.
It wasn't really on the warning track, a little bit before the warning track.
Nice going, Salty.
Well, I mean, he didn't strike out. He advanced the runner.
Got the runner over.
Considering how the first couple innings went, where how many double plays did they hit into?
They hit into 3 in the first 5 innings, I think.
Jesus.
I know.
So, but that's, you know, with no out to the guy in second, you're like, just advance the runner here, just advance the runner here, at the very least, just advance the runner.
Which they just don't do.
They never do. That's my problem with that team.
They manufactured 2 huge runs today, and they won because of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's a good sign. That's 8 wins out of 10 after a nasty streak there where they lost 5 in a row and just didn't play good baseball. Of course, they had 3 starters out, 4 starters out for a couple days.
And now they get to go to Kansas City.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they've surprised a lot of people a lot of different ways.
Kansas City's been pretty damn hot.
Yeah, but they've been hot too. One thing's for sure, when JV's part of the series, I don't worry about them getting swept. Unfortunately, JD will not get a turn in this series. So
JV,
I'm not liking that too much. But we'll see. And you know, these young guys, I guess Fulmer will pitch in this series.
Yeah.
Got to get him back on the schneid. He's had a couple bad starts in a row. Anyway, it's been there have been some remarkable games at Comerica this summer. This team's been a lot of fun. If the window's closing on this team, I think they're acquitting themselves well, and I think Brad Ausmus deserves some credit. He's gotten a lot out of what he has. People talk about the fat payroll, but honestly, the team has a lot of problems, and they seem to be finding different guys to be heroes day after day.
I still give it to Dave Dombrowski.
Dave Dombrowski deserves a lot of credit too.
I mean, the Jacoby Jones, that was another pickup
piece
from
that trade
or from last year with Soria.
No doubt.
Soria blew a game yesterday night, last night, didn't he?
Soria has blown 2 games against the Tigers. So how many games has he blown this year?
I don't know. Good riddance.
Yeah, it's fine with me. But anyway, 11 games over 500 now. And on to Kansas City for a tough, important series because Kansas City's right on our tail. They're playing like wildfire lately.
Yeah, they get Duffy, too, for the first game versus Sanchez. So there's a loss. Then Fulmer versus Ventura.
Well, even though Sanchez can be crazy sometimes.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying to count on him, but I just don't count anything out with this team
anymore.
Well, thank
God Miggy's got 2 days of rest, so you never know.
Yeah, whatever. I hope he comes back strong. I hope he gets one of these days off. A lot of times they do. Hey, are you guys surprised about the Kaepernick response?
How so?
I feel like it's almost like he's a hero.
Well, I was going to say, you saw the veterans for Colin or veterans for Kaepernick.
Yeah. How strong is that?
Well, it appears to be pretty strong. I mean,
it looks really strong to me.
You know, and I thought the one tweet I saw that I thought was pretty interesting is the veteran that said, when we take an oath, it's to protect the Constitution. It's not to protect the national anthem.
Oh, of course not. No, but you know what bothers me?
Well, I thought that kind of captured it all.
Well, yeah, I think it's well said, but I think a lot of people think of the military when they think of the national anthem. They think of the military, and not usually. No,
do you, Trudy?
No, except for at every game, there usually is some sort of military contingent along with a national anthem. Like they bring out an honor guard.
That's a great point, Trudy.
Or
you're
a giant
right.
flag.
Yeah. Well.
No. Very true.
So. I just think
of the country in general.
I do too.
Yeah.
But if you look at the national anthem and the verses,
I think, why are we doing this? Let's get to the game.
You know, there's a bunch of verses that we don't hear in the national anthem.
Oh,
there are
in the poem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
And they're very military oriented.
Hey, do you think it's a little silly that we do the national anthem before a sporting event?
I don't know. I don't think it's a bad idea.
I mean, it doesn't bother me, but
does every country?
Why?
Well, the only thing I can think of is Canada. You know, Canada plays their anthem.
I don't know. I just wondered why or how it became that way.
You know, I think it'd be interesting to find out where that started. It's probably some dumb tradition.
And how long?
From the 1800s that we just stuck with for because nobody knew to say no.
Let's say the Tigers just decided to stop doing it. How long do you think it would take for people to notice? Would it be right away?
Yeah.
You think so, really?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people in their seats ready for the entire experience. And
yeah, I think people,
and there are loiterers.
There would be people
late.
Who would notice it. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Because it comes at a very specific time. In the pregame, and it's not right before first pitch like it used to be.
Yeah,
it used to be. It was. I mean, you see the players on the field with their hands in their hearts, and then the game would start. In hockey, it's before they drop the puck. Mm-hmm. Is it still that way? I think it is.
I believe so. Yeah.
Do men still take their hats off for it?
Yeah,
you better.
You should.
Yeah.
I do
Unless
notice
Colin Kaepernick.
I noticed quite a few people not taking their hats off now that I never used to notice.
They're probably in the military.
It tends to be younger people.
Oh, I'm serious. Okay. Jay, well, if you're in the military,
if you're in the military,
you
can wear your hat.
Yeah, you get to keep your hat on.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I didn't know that.
The more you know.
Little rainbow.
The song gave popularity through the 19th century. Bands played it during public events, such as July 4th celebrations.
Well, that makes sense, obviously.
It's
July 4th.
Oh, here we go. The playing of the song 2 years... Okay, in 1916, Woodrow Wilson ordered that the Star Spangled Banner be played in military and other appropriate occasions. The playing of the song 2 years later during the seventh inning stretch of the 1918 World Series and thereafter during each game of the series is often noted as the first instance the anthem was played at a baseball game. The evidence shows the Star Spangled Banner was performed as early as 1897 at opening day ceremonies in Philadelphia and more regularly at the Polo Grounds in New York City beginning in 1898.
Huh. Wow.
So, in any case, the tradition of performing the anthem before every baseball game began during World War II. Today, the anthem is performed before the beginning of all MLS, NBA, NFL, MLB, and NHL games, as well as in a pre-race ceremony portion of every NASCAR race!
Yeah.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Performances at particularly large events are often ended with a military flypast. That's
sweet.
True. Yeah, which is always cool.
Everyone gets off on.
No, you're right, Trudy. It is very...
Yeah.
There's always a military attendant to it. It seems very often, and the Pistons games I always notice that on the court, on the floor. Yeah. So, but I thought of it more about the country, and that's why I think it bugged me because I don't think of boy, if there's something wrong with the country, I just disrespect the hell out of this anthem, or I just don't feel right about this anthem.
Right.
It's more the opposite. Like the anthem to me encompasses, I'd say America, warts and all. That's the way I put it in the tweet anyway. I think of the anthem as a positive, I don't know, it's just my
emblematic of our ideals.
Paying respect to America and its ideals, warts and all. I don't think of necessarily that I only would stand for the anthem when the country's perfect or, because it's never perfect. There's always some imperfection. And I also feel that we deserve credit because we try to get it right. We're always trying to get it right, and it's not ever right, and there's always problems. But the more I hear Kaepernick talk about it, like, when I see this country is not oppressing black people, then I will stand for the anthem. It's like, how do we get to your standard, Colin? Lay out the steps for us.
But what's more American than fighting tyrannical or, in his opinion, oppressive governments?
Red, white, and blue!
Well, it supports
that's the foundation of the country.
I think he's a little conspiracy oriented.
Sure. There's a lot of people that are.
I also find that he's a bit self-righteous. I know I was reading about his birth mother that he refuses to talk to.
Who's white?
How come?
Because I don't know, then there's really no description as to why, but it's his decision, apparently. And I think it's because she gave him up.
She was really young, though.
Yeah, she was. She gave birth to him. She could have.
She was white, right?
She had no plans. Yeah, she's white.
Yeah.
She had no intention of raising a child, and he was out of here.
I think it worked out well for him.
Absolutely. And for him to act for, I'm hearing about how he was oppressed in this incident in Nevada that happened when he and some teammates were in the dorm or something before the rest of the students were there. And so automatically the cops came in, saw a bunch of black guys and, told them to get on the ground and, were abusive to them. I have to believe that this guy, particularly from that point on, because he was a star at Nevada, in college.
He was not heavily recruited, but yeah, his senior year.
But still, the quarterback of the high school team has his ass kissed constantly. I just cannot believe this kid faced much in the way of oppression from the point at which he became a good quarterback, which would have been, you know, at least from eighth, ninth grade on.
Go home to mommy.
Yeah, I don't know. And I also feel like, should this guy be thinking about all this shit when the anthem is being played just minutes before his professional, the most important part of his professional career is taking place?
Well, he's
seem a little miscast.
He's a different bird. I think he's pretty much pretty much resigned to the fact that he's never going to take another snap for the 49ers because he just hasn't captured the starter's role again.
Oh, so he's getting to just try.
Not that good.
Is it an attention grab?
I don't think so. I really don't. Because he's a big social media tweeter and meme about these very issues. So this is just taking it to the next level.
Well, you know, I mean,
he's getting attention. He's starting a conversation, which is kind of the point in what he wants.
Well, that's what you do in social media if you want to get social media to work for you, is put something controversial in so that you can get people to talk about it.
Don't you love social media?
You know, the point, I'm sure, of the conversation should be more about what his opinion is and whether or not any of it or all of it is valid, as opposed to, are you allowed to sit during the national anthem? Because most people agree, yes, you can protest this country.
Yeah, well, the very anthem protects symbolically your right to protest the anthem by sitting.
Of course.
You can protest all you want.
Kind of a dick if you do it anyway, though. You can do it, but you're still
protects your right to be a dick.
And you're right. Being an asshole is not illegal.
No.
And he can also be called out for being a dick, and people are free to think he's a dick and to say he's a dick.
Sure.
And a lot of people have done it, including Jerry Rice, who
he got hammered.
Yeah, he took a lot of shit. What did he say?
I don't remember what his original
because I was surprised to see he got such a beating.
But it's on Twitter. It doesn't count.
No, that's true. All lives matter. So much going on in this world today. Can't we all just get along? Colin, I respect your stance, but don't disrespect
Rodney.
The flag. Why would he get hammered for saying that?
That was his original one?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Harbs, did you read Harbs's...
Harbaugh took his back, too?
Did you read his quote, or did you see his answer? Because it's really kind of interesting, the difference between the two. Because I read the quote before I heard the quote.
You heard... I'm totally confused. What are you talking about?
When Harbaugh condemned Colin Kaepernick, did you read the
quote? Yeah, I
read it. Did you hear him say it?
No, I read it.
Okay. Because when you read it, and you read it straight through, it sounds like he gave an answer. But when you hear it, it's clearly one of those Harbaugh things where he's trying to figure out what exactly he was going to say. Like another, not that the question took him by surprise, but there were like three really long pauses in it. Am I making sense? Is that making sense to you or no?
I don't know. I think the words are the words. I mean, what did he say exactly? I don't even remember exactly, other than that he didn't seem real crazy about it.
Yeah, and then he later had to update it on Twitter.
Update it, meaning what?
Here, let me find the story exactly as he's reading, because I don't want to paraphrase it. But you've seen him do press conferences before, right?
Yeah, no, the last one I saw, I thought he was kind of a jackass about the people wanting to know who was suspended. And
what's your reaction to what Colin Kaepernick
said? I give you some information, you just want more information. Right. But I think he was just pissed about the whole thing.
Well, anyway, a lot of times when he's asked non-football stuff, he kind of gives these long, kind of oddball-type answers with lots of pauses and stuff, and that's what he did with Colin Kaepernick. But then it gets transcribed into one statement. It seems very...
Oh, I see what you're
pointed
saying.
...pointed into what he's saying, so much so that that's why he had to tweet out what he actually meant, because he had to sit down and think about it, because the guy's football 24/7.
What did he tweet out?
Right.
I'm looking for the story.
To do that, but I don't respect the motivation or the
Dr. Phil ask
or the action.
See what I mean? See how he kind of spaced it out? Because I don't think he really knew exactly what he was going to say.
Well,
never mind. It doesn't matter.
I think he's just fleshing out what he thinks or what he feels.
Exactly the point. But when that it's transcribed and people write the articles that, that he blasted Kaepernick, that really didn't sound like blasting to me.
No.
Never mind.
Well, he's not yelling
it,
but he's saying it. I mean, his words are his words.
Well, I think tone matters.
I don't know. Are we kind of parsing?
I know. It's a stupid point. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Eagles linebacker Mike Tavares had followed suit saying, "What kind of man would I be? What kind of African-American would I be if I didn't stand my ground on this issue?" But in an embarrassing climb down, Tavares changed his mind after a few stiff words from his agent. As a rookie, his goal is not to be a distraction for the Eagles. His coaches at his former college at Texas, Incarnate Word, and I advised him to stand, said his agent, Corey Williams. So he will be standing.
Wow.
So in other words, making the team is more important.
Worse.
Than,
worse than anything Kaepernick said.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's funny. It seems like the people who are criticizing Kaepernick are getting more shit than Kaepernick.
Well, once again, he's getting $11.5 million guaranteed.
Kaepernick. Yeah, sure. It's funny. I just sense some kind of a breeze in the country is what I'm getting at. I thought that this would be fairly universally maligned. Not that anyone was going to, shoot him or the 49ers were going to cut him or that he would change his mind next week or anything, but I just thought most people would say, you know what, that's crap. I think he should find another way to express himself.
Respect, yeah.
But I almost get the feeling that the Kaepernick supporters are having a day.
Wow. Well, that's this country and that's democracy, man.
My point, though, is that I've sensed a change in the wind in this country. Because I just don't think if this 10 years ago, I don't think there's any doubt this would have been maligned pretty universally. And, you know, maybe it's social media. Maybe that's.
Well, I 10 think
years
that
ago
has
is
to be
also
what it
a lot
is,
closer
yeah.
to 9/11, too.
True. But I just think that the national anthem is a pretty reverential thing, generally speaking. And to suggest that you can't stand up for the national anthem suggests that this country is in such horrible disarray. I mean, it really suggests that the country is off its rocker.
Well, are you surprised considering the national election for president right now? I mean, you have so many people that think the country's in the wrong direction. And there's just so much wrong with this country. It's all you hear every night on the news is how everything's wrong and wrong and everything's terrible and wrong.
No, that's not what the Clinton campaign will tell you. They'll tell you that we need 4 more years of what we've been doing for 8 years.
Wrong. Yeah.
Over 70% of the people are unhappy with the direction of this country.
But is that really about what's the point?
What the hell is wrong with you people?
And there's a lot of hatred out there. I mean, these are the two most hated candidates.
But that's just a function of this ridiculous process whereby, you know, we have these two parties and whoever they present is the person we decide is the president when actually there are probably a lot of good candidates out there, but they don't have the money.
But 4 years ago, they were not this disliked. Even Obama 4 years in wasn't as disliked as these two are now.
But it's been a slippery slope, don't you think?
I think it's the longevity of how both of them have been in our consciousness in general.
Everybody knew
who Donald Trump was, and the Clintons have been around for God forever.
The Clintons have more money than anyone. This candidate is better funded than any candidate probably in the history of the political process. Donald Trump has a lot of money, too. And money is what gets you elected about 90% of the time.
Right.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, how sad. You know, I don't know. That's one of the things I hate about this country more than anything. Not that I'm going to sit during the national anthem. But just the fact that money buys you a not guilty verdict, money buys you a senator's seat, money buys you a congressional seat. I don't know. Money can buy anything.
Are you way into the college of your choice?
Yeah, well, always did that. But, you know, to buy you a not guilty verdict, I just think that's bullshit. And I think the way the process has changed, too, that we have jury consultants, you know, who decide, well, who will give you the verdict you want? Not the verdict you deserve, but, you know, which juror, how do I size this juror up? What bunch of bullshit? No, you take 12 people, who are reasonable people, and you get them up there. You don't get, you know, where did this come up in the Constitution that you could have a jury consultant who could pick a, because the other side isn't going to be able to do that.
Yeah, but
check this out, man. Judge should be like, guilty.
Amen.
Peace. But prosecutors have, they know what to get for what juries.
Prosecutors don't have the kind of budgets loaded
of course not.
Defense attorneys do, or loaded defense people who are being defended.
But every move in the courtroom is scrutinized anyway. That it won't have anything to do with being innocent or guilty.
I don't understand what this has to do with jury consultants.
Well, you were just complaining about the legal system in general.
Well, yeah. If you have money, you have a much better chance of getting the verdict of your choice.
Yeah, well, to that point, it's not always about evidence and guilty or innocent. There's a lot of things that go into play for a conviction.
But I want it to be that the person did it or they didn't do it, and 12 people are able to decide that.
Of course.
Not because someone has more money than the other guy who committed that crime, and so they can size up a jury who, hey, that guy's a maverick. I'll get the, you know, there's my reasonable doubt guy right there, because that's what they do. They pervert the process.
They also hire experts.
The defense the
testimony,
teams?
Yeah.
Defense. And
yeah,
then
sure
they
do.
The other experts on the prosecution side a lot of times are very friendly with the prosecution.
The prosecution side, though, cannot compete with a wealthy defense subject. Not even close. They won't have nearly the budget, especially in a small town or a small area. And then, you know, to think that it takes money to be president, it takes money to be anything in politics. If you got money, you'll win. I mean, unless you're just a jerk. I mean, unless you're just a complete idiot and just a horseshit candidate, then you might find your way to defeat. But
who was the last poor person elected president?
Well, Bill Clinton was technically poor growing up, but he was pretty well funded. If you know, they were raising a lot of funds by the time he got in, and he was elected with a less than a majority. Because if you remember, Perot got 19% of the vote that first time.
That's right.
I think Bill got 43%. I think it might have been the lowest percentage of the vote that any winning president has received.
Did the Carters have money? They didn't really have that much
money.
Well,
he'd been governor by then.
He was governor, but...
You know, I mean, once you've moved up that far in the process, you will get money. And once you're the nominee, too. But, yeah, Carter wasn't a peanut farmer.
How loaded was Barack?
Barack had donations out the wazoo.
Yeah.
And that was the first heavy online solicited...
You know where he learned
that? They all have money. By the time they're elected, they all have money.
You know where a lot of that came from?
Where?
His staff from Howard Dean, because Howard Dean really tapped into that 4 years prior before he went nuts. But they realized early on, like, oh, wow, we can really do a grassroots thing here and get a lot of people to give money. And then they went on to Barack's campaign.
Isn't it weird that the difference between being a successful candidate and not can be something as simple as, No, you cannot be president because you went,
I think that's kind of changed this year, though.
I know. Why can't he be president now? Couldn't he just walk on?
There it is. He can't be president.
He must
can't be
livid watching both Trump and Clinton going, look how crazy these two maniacs are.
I could have gone, yeah, and been president this year. Jesus, I got screwed.
Remember Hillary in 08? You know, she fake cried. Remember, this country move
forward.
What
was a fake cry about?
Remember, she was in that diner, and she's like, I just want to see this country do better. And everyone's like, yeah,
fake!
Fuck you, you're faking. And, like, now it's Dale May in! And everyone will vote for her. It's ridiculous.
Love Trump's hate!
Nobody cares.
Oh, no.
I feel like I'm just going to blame
CJ's hand on the mouse. God, here it comes.
Hillary Clinton for president. All the way.
Yeah.
There you go. There's my
girl.
There's
the lady. She think she's still alive?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
In Trailer Park?
I don't know why, but I just do.
Dale me in!
God.
My point, though, I just feel like there's a change in the wind, and I don't even know what I'm describing, but the best way I can express it is to say that Colin Kaepernick's, the response to him is not something you would have seen 10 years ago. You've seen someone maligned and probably shamed into standing next week.
America is going to win.
I agree.
Isn't she the best?
These colors don't run.
All right, we're just...
I wanted Hillary Clinton for president.
We're just about an hour in, so I think we'll clam up and get ready for part two. I do want to Do you think we can get Alcor? Is it? It's early enough out there, isn't it?
No, but they got a 24 hour.
Oh, the 24 hours. Oh, excellent.
You never know when you need to be frozen.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to have important questions about being frozen. When that time comes, and when you do die, by the way, if you have an Alcor life extension process that you've purchased to be frozen, you got to get there. Your ass has to get there within a certain amount of time, I think, to successfully be frozen.
What's the turnaround for it?
I don't know what it is.
48?
But wouldn't you think that they would probably, if you got their duel to it, they'd say, oh, fuck it, freeze them anyway.
Right.
If the check clears.
Turn your money, give your money back or give money back to your estate. Nah, they'll just freeze whatever you get there. But I think they'll, I want to ask them about that, what they would do if for some reason that you could not get your body there soon enough. So hopefully we'll get into that in part two. And there's a lot of other stuff going on too. I mean, it's been a crazy week here for one. And just a lot of odds and ends to get into. Maybe some more on the DMC and what's going on there. I think we covered a lot of that the other day. Oh, we got plenty to talk about.
Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Wow.
Yikes.
Howard
did just frankly say, nope, that's too weird for the president. The president can never say that. Trudy's with us from 94.7 WCSX, Classic Rock. Trudy and Jim in the morning from 6 to 10. Mark, of course, from Berkeley. Jay from Plymouth. I'm Drew from Ferndale. And join us for part two coming up.